Welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road, Minnesota's premier and only off-road podcast, brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Hey, and welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road podcast. First segment, Can Mitch Fix It? Seems to be a weekly segment now, but a couple things happened this week at the old house. Not off-road related, but there is a fridge in my house. Actually, I have three refrigerators. And yes, two of them are beer fridges. But the main fridge has some shelves, and they're plastic shelves of two different types of plastic. Dissimilar plastic problems. Back to the dissimilar metal corrosion that Wade talked about forever ago. But so these shelves on these Samsung refrigerators, if some of you guys have those, you'll understand. You pull the milk out, and if you're a 12-year-old kid like I have, you pull it out and you just yank it out. You end up breaking off these little tabs that hold these shelves together. Well, my kid actually broke one out, and then I switched the shelf around, and then all of a sudden the other one's falling apart already after like one day. So I know it's a design flaw, but also a user error. So I pulled the shelves out, got some super glue out, and once you know it, I think I fixed it. All I did was these little tabs that go through, and just put some super glue on the back of the tabs, just made it a wide tab, is what it comes out to. Let it sit for 10 or 15 minutes, stuck it in there, and it seems to be holding. So super glue saves the day. I mean, between super glue and duct tape, I'm pretty dangerous, I guess. But the bigger problem I had in my house is my air conditioner. And my brother he's big into this. My brother Mike, he's been on the podcast. He's big into making sure make sure your condenser outside is all clean. You got to have to do that and change the filter. Did all those things, but the air conditioner kept on freezing up. So did it a couple times where I, let it thaw, flip back on, it would work fine for a couple hours. About 2 in the morning, I woke up and I could hear the air conditioner outside running, but no fan blowing. So something was wrong. So finally the guy came over today, called somebody up, here the fan went out. So more money that's not going towards the Jeep is going to be going towards the house, which is no fun. So we're already in conservative mode here at the house, based on what we're at right now in the world. But at least it wasn't going to be, in the thousands, it's going to be, $600-$700 to put a new blower motor in. So I'm thankful that wasn't too expensive. So hopefully I fixed a couple things, but I did not fix that. That's kind of the fix-it segment, and it's more of a kind of a dad thing or just a homeowner thing half the time when you have to have these little fixes, but kind of rolls right into the Crossroad podcast. Another thing, if you guys haven't had a chance to view Motor Trend Television, they have a cool thing, the Motor Trend app. I think I paid, it's like a few bucks a year, maybe. I can't remember how much it was. About $3-4 a month is what it ends up being. They have deals every now and again, but based on the app, and you can stream it to your TV. Most smart TVs, you can download the app and then stream it to your TV. I'm a big fan of it. But what's fun this week is Fred from Dirty Every Day. They have this at-home segment, and what he did is he bought an old LJ or traded for it, and he was going to do a few things. Not LJ, a YJ. Another YJ. And he was going to do a few things to it and get it up and running with just the parts he had around the house. And which is interesting because he had almost everything he needed but the fasteners. But one thing he did in there, which I thought was pretty funny, is he put his transfer case skid plate back on. And during that, he talked about don't cross-thread these. I got to kick out of that one part because it's named my podcast. But obviously, he has zero clue who I am. But he ended up getting his YJ back up and running. It's a little four-cylinder guy that he had. That he traded for, but he had most of the parts kind of hanging around, and he got it up and running in 6 days just by off and on doing it. So it was enjoyable to me. It was a two-part series, so if you're interested in watching Fred do his thing all by himself, it was pretty cool thing. So that's my must-watch video of the week for you guys. And he had two videos. Each one was about 20, 30 minutes long. It was pretty fun to watch him put this thing together and kind of work through all the little problems that you find when you have something sitting for 20, 15, 20 years that you just kind of get for a few $100. But he ended up and running in a few days, and obviously he has the know-how in order to do that. But one thing he did that I've done in the past too is he didn't have the right fastener bolts to put their transfer case skid plate on. And so instead of finding a bunch of washers, because he had the right, coarse thread, half inch bolt, whatever it was way too long. But he ended up using a 9/16 inch socket that he kind of had sitting around, or nut, I should say. It was actually a lug nut, as a big spacer. And I've done things like that where I'm like, oh, I'll just throw a nut in there as a spacer instead of using a bunch of washers. And because I happen to have a bunch of, random nuts hanging around in a bin. And so I used that in the past for different projects. And I can't remember off the top of my head what I used it for, but I've done stuff like that. But I thought that was interesting. My guest today, his name is Kevin, and actually Kevin Freiberger. So I'm going to ask him if he's related to Freiberger, Dave Freiberger. Maybe he is. But randomly met him because he was picking up or looking at a motorcycle that my buddy Wade has. And he pulls up and he starts looking at Jeep. Yeah, cool Jeeps, and I'm like, cool. And he starts talking to us about his Jeep that he has. So you're going to hear all about his J10 that he's rebuilding. And I thought it was a cool, he kind of mentioned, I said, hey, I'd love to have you on because I've had a couple other guys who had some classic Jeeps and had them on a couple different times. I thought this would be a kind of a cool little twist because trucks are back in the, Jeeps back in the truck world. So here's kind of a classic truck that we're going to be talking about. I think it's a 1977 J10.
Connecting, sir. All right, we're recording. Welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast. I'm here with Kevin Freiberger, no relation to David Freiberger from Motor Trend, but I had to ask him
Yep. Not the first time.
Yeah, he gets that a lot, I guess. So he's still a car guy or a truck guy, like
Yep.
Freiberger guy. And one thing I noticed, you want to spin around and show the tailgate that's hung up on the wall because that is pretty slick. I got to see that again. There we
Oh,
go.
there's a couple there. I don't even see.
Is that our Jeep tailgate too up there?
Yeah, there's a couple of them there. And I'll do a little walk around here. Of course, I got spare doors. Those are the doors off the actual truck. And so, yeah, no doors on the truck right now, but
Well,
it's a.
let's back up just a little bit. So I have Kevin on because I randomly ran into him. I kind of mentioned that already in the intro. And he says, "Hey, nice Jeep." And he starts talking about our Jeeps. He goes, "Like that, I forget what you said." He goes, "I'm working on the J10 right now." And my buddy Wade, he goes, he had no clue what a J10 was. I'm like, "I know exactly what a J10 is." I told you a story about how there was a J10, or it might have been a J20 because it was pretty far away. But it was sitting forever on the side of the road. I don't know if it was for sale or not, but it was just sitting out there for like 2 years. I'm like, I
Sure.
have to see if this thing is available for sale. The next day it's gone. So
Yeah.
somebody else must have snuck in and got it. But that was out in Mound area. And so I did a lot of research on J10s. And I watched two videos today on rebuilds on YouTube just to kind of get my mind ready of what it might take to rebuild these. So tell us a bit about what is a J10.
It's a, I'm sure you've heard the term gladiator lately, but it's a, well, the gladiator is the predecessor to the J10, and then they had a few other models in there, like the J2000. And, I believe it's when AMC took over the Jeep name from Kaiser, about the mid-70s. And so my truck's it's a 77, and, speaking of the rarity of them, especially up here, I actually ended up driving to Kansas for this one. And what's left of that original truck is the cab and the chassis. And I was actually able to somehow find a bed locally. I bought a whole truck for $500 and just to source the bed off of it pretty much, and the four barrel carb and intake and all that. And but yeah, a J10 is just a half ton full size Jeep. It's kind of the cousin of the Grand Wagoneer and the full size Cherokees. Basically from the cab forward, it's the exact same thing. They did have wide track, narrow tracks, and this truck specifically is a wide track. It's got a 360 AMC. It's basically a 5.9 liter. And this one actually came with Quadratrac, so it's four-wheel drive all the time. And from what I understand, that works off a center differential, and it's all vacuum operated. So, and surprisingly, it all works.
So I actually read about that. It has a little, you know, a center locking differential. Is it in the glove box?
Right. Yeah. So to, I don't know if you can see well there. The lighting's kind of tough here in the garage, but let's say you pop open the glove box here and there's a little vacuum operated switch.
That's like a little dial, right?
Yeah. Can you see it there?
I can't quite see it, but I saw it on another video.
It's kind of, if you can see my finger there, it's just.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, it's a big kind of like rocker switch and
okay.
A dial. And so that engages the, that locks front and rear axles. And then low range, I'll walk around here. Low range is just a lever right under the driver's seat. I got a block of wood there now, but it's this deal here.
Oh, yeah, just a little guy.
Yeah, just a little low-range lever. And yeah, but it all functions. So the truck went down there with a buddy of mine, and just because they're so hard to find locally here, and go to fill it up at the gas station, and gas was pouring all over the ground, and the filler neck was rotted out from it and everything like that. So the guy I bought it from had put just enough gas in to get us to the local gas station, and then we filled it up and noticed the filler neck was pretty much rotted off. So just made the decision to stop every 100 miles or so. And so we went Kansas to Minnesota, and like 16, 18 hour drive, and it did great. It does 60, about 60, 65 max, but it made it home. So
now it's a very rare truck in terms of, well, just because they don't make them anymore. I think there's not too many 1977s of any vintage or any, you know, brand kind of hanging around too much anymore. But
right.
Do you know how many they built compared to like your Ford? Do they build like 25% of them, 10% of them? What do you think they compare to like the Ford?
Yeah. Actually, I'd gone to a local car show here. It's a Mopar show. And even though this is an AMC, they let me in. And I was parked next to all the CJs and actually a bunch of Dodge trucks. But, yeah, I was talking with a guy that he had basically said to me, he goes, oh, you know, yeah, they're pretty rare. Because he goes, you know, back in 1977 alone, he goes, you know, they made 500,000 Chevy C10s, 500,000 Ford F100s. About 100,000 Dodge D100s, and he goes, you got about 10,000 J10s. So quite a difference there.
Yeah, so that's how rare they are. So how about parts? What you said you found locally you found another truck for sale for a donor, but
yeah.
How about parts? What's the hardest part you were able to find so far?
I haven't had a whole lot of trouble finding parts. Honestly, it's really just body panels, I guess, because I can get everything from weather stripping to door popper locks to turn signals from, there's a couple vendors online that are kind of, you know, repopping a bunch of stuff. And there's still a lot of new old stock parts for these trucks. And I guess my latest project has been kind of cleaning up the front clip. So I actually have the inner fenders, the core support, and the header panel sandblasted, primed, and painted. And the original header panel and the core support were pretty well rotted. So I ended up actually driving to Illinois and met up with a guy there and got parts from him. And I was able to use my my inner fenders. But yeah, it's actually turned out pretty nice. So I just got the grill on it the other day, and
it looks sharp.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's got a, I don't know if you can see that real well, or but I got Rancho shocks on it. I pour 15 the entire frame. I did the back half last summer. I pulled the bed off and wire wheeled the frame down, and I pour 15 that, and then. This year I did the front half, and I ended up getting new lift springs on it too. And But yeah, I guess, you know, the story with this one is, you know, the engine had good compression. It's only got 60,000 miles on it. I'm the second owner.
Wow.
Yeah, just farm truck down there. And so, you know, drivetrain wise, the truck runs and drives just like my daily driver truck. I would drive it anywhere. But yeah, I mean, thanks to a couple stores online here, I've been able to get any parts that I need.
So what's the floor pans? You looked at the floor pans earlier. Is that the next thing you're going to tackle then?
I'm going to switch tablet here. There's remnants of my Y pipe. That's actually the next project I got. I was able to get new old stock manifolds on there, and I went that route versus headers because headers are just kind of spendy. And everything I read online is, you know, the AMC factory manifolds are actually one of the better design manifolds as far as kind of high flow. And so I just decided, you know, I'd save a few bucks, and I think it was 150 a side for right off the shelf new old stock manifolds from AMC. And so I got those on, and then this is going to be kind of tough, but I can try and show you. I'll show you from the back here. I had exhaust done from a local shop here last summer. And so there's a tailgate actually that's kind of like a piece of gold. I got that locally too.
Oh, wow.
Because those are pretty hard to find. And I think this one's actually out of California originally, and that's why it's so clean.
I like the latch. They use that latch on everything.
Yeah, I think that you can find them on like AMC Javelins and Gremlins and all that. They were the door handles, and they just...
That's the same latch I saw my TJ.
Yeah.
On the trunk, whatever you want to call it, the tailgate of mine. It's the same latch, but mine's black, so chrome.
There we go. Yeah, so try and get a shot there underneath. So I've cleaned up. Yeah, I'm hoping that poor 15 sticks to its name, because I just went ahead and did everything with it. I did the axle, frame rails, backing plates for the brakes. I just coated everything in that poor 15.
Yeah, I think Core 15 has worked out okay for me. If you do all the prep work, it seems to kind of really seal it up. There is something that truck drivers use that they coat their frames with, because obviously they do like hundreds of thousands, millions of miles, and there's a thicker version, I think. And so I might do that someday, but I think Core 15 does a job for most consumers. So as long as you do the work ahead of time,
yep.
Pretty good. So how the bed work? Did it sit pretty level when you got it all on, or did you have to change some bushings out?
No, that's one of the things I've been happiest about. Because you see a lot of these old pickups. I had a C10 for a while. It was kind of had this problem where the cab mounts were kind of shot, and it was kind of thick. But you can see here the body lines are pretty well. You know, they're pretty well straight. Yeah. The only bushings I've replaced so far have been the core support bushings, because those are pretty dry rotted when I took the core support off. But this is a very common issue with these K10s. This is a dual wall bed design. Mm-hmm. And like we were talking earlier, the earlier trucks, like I believe it was 67 to 72, they ran with a Gladiator name. And those earlier trucks, the wheelbase on the, I have a long bed here. So they had, I believe they had 8 and 7 foot bed options. And on the Gladiators, they were strictly 8 foot beds, or you had like the step side model. Mm-hmm. And big difference there is you can find a lot cleaner beds in those years, because it was just a single wall design. And on my truck here, it's got a dual wall design going, and it's a problem area, because there's a pinch weld down here, and it just, you know, on your tie downs on your bed here, everything gets down in here, and it just collects down there, and it just rusts out from the inside out. So
Yeah. There's always one.
I tried to get ahead of it. I had the whole bed sandblasted and primed. It's still sitting in epoxy primer, so I try and keep it inside here. But, and then the roll bar. This is a Honcho roll bar. It's the real deal. And I got that locally somehow too. So it's, it's hard to find a complete truck.
So explain what the Honcho was. That was kind of their sport truck, right, that they had?
Yeah. It's actually – so this is actually incorrect. You only find roll bars on short bed trucks, but it's like I ended up with a long bed, and I think it looks cool anyway, so I, you know, was able to find one. And but, yeah, the Honcho, I believe it ran for – most of the model years, and they had a few other, you know, they had the Levi's editions, they had the 410 editions with the CB, and mine actually does have a CB radio, but it's an aftermarket one.
Is it a vintage aftermarket guy?
What's that?
Is it vintage aftermarket then? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, like I was saying earlier, this looks identical to a Grand Wagoneer on the inside or a Cherokee, and I guess back to your question on the floor pans. I'm actually, there's few places I can get those. I can source those out, and that'll probably be a winter project to cut and replace those. And yeah, I guess where I'm really at is, you know, kind of the body work at this point. I'm trying to decide if I want to, kind of do a patina match with the cab and get the bed to match the cab, or if I want to go all out and get a full on paint job on the thing. But I guess what really got me into the whole J10 thing too, because I've had a few Jeeps in the past, more than a few, but the movie Twister, to be honest, and this is not an accurate reflection of that specific truck. I believe in the movie they had three trucks, and because they wrecked a couple of them, and I think one of them sold on eBay, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, you know, back. And the truck in that movie was actually like a 79 to 81 model, and you can, you know, like they have those websites that show the movie bloopers or kind of the mishaps or whatever. And one of the major things that, if you know anything about these trucks, is you have this brow on the older models. And in the movie, they, you know, they were switching between the trucks, and they kind of have the hero truck, and then they have the one they smash all up. And there are some inconsistencies there, because I think the brow went away in 79, and then 80, they kind of had more of a smooth roof line.
So you could pick all that up and watch that movie.
Oh, yeah. No, there's, yeah, screenshots and stuff from the movie. Yeah. So it's as close as I could get. It's a 77, and, God, they got, I think, 8 different grill designs for these trucks. And, I mean, that being said, the Wagoneers and things as well. So I have what's called the Razor Grill. I can show it again here. And I, personally, it's my favorite one. Pretty sharp looking, but the movie, or the truck in the movie Twister, is a little bit different. It's the next model newer. Mm-hmm. But I just, you know, to me, it's all the same. And I just was happy that I was able to find one that was actually a worthy candidate for the, you know, kind of the restoration I've been doing. And, but that's what got me into it. I've wanted one since I was a kid.
Is this your first J10?
This is my first J10. I had a little two-wheel drive Comanche before this, and that one came out of Georgia, so it was very clean. But it was a four-cylinder, two-wheel drive. It was a five-speed, so that helped. But it was, yeah, it was fun while it lasted, but I just wanted to move on to something bigger and better. And so I actually kind of fire sailed the Comanche the week of when I was talking to a guy that had this, and then that didn't take long to sell. That sold in 10 to 12 hours. basically sold itself. And I had thrown a little bit of a lift in there. I had a 3-inch Rusty's lift in that, just an add a leaf, and that had coils up front. So I had pretty much just done a lift and some tires on that. And that needed floors as well. But yeah, that one was hard to let go. But when this J10 came up, I just had to have it. And I just set it up for the weekend. We drove down there and basically swapped. You know, I took the cash from that and bought this. And prior to that, I was, you know, I had a 2-door XJ, a 97, and then I had about 4 ZJs before that. And that's kind of where I got started in Jeeps. And honestly, if I could find a clean YJ, I would pick that up as well, because that's something I've always wanted as well.
YJs are kind of cool. Actually, in my intro, you didn't hear it yet, but in the intro, I talked about Fred from Dirt Every Day. I got the Motor Trend channel, and he kind of rebuilt a YJ out of the parts he had in his garage.
Okay.
But he had to find the fasteners. It was his hardest thing to find, was fasteners. So I thought it was interesting that we always kind of come back on this podcast to YJs. A lot of people cut their teeth on it. But the only way I can think of is it's just so simple. You don't have to worry about a computer getting in the way. They're like Legos. You can pull one part off and put another part on. And TJ kind of has that same deal, but anything newer than the TJ, I think, kind of has, a little more problems with,
with
computers here and there. Even if you have a TJ, you'll get the code, the P455 code, I think, has the number on it. And everybody knows what that is. You need to do a gas cap. That code will pop up. But I think with most of these things, that's the only computer issue I ever had was that. And it was just a new gas cap. But these things are so cool where you can have this, the old school where, I could take this part out. Like you said, you put a different carburetor in, or you have a spare one now. The doors, they kind of go right on. And a lot of things aren't that easy just to kind of plug and play. But the older vehicles, you could do that. That's why it's fun. I think that's why YJs are so cool.
So yeah, and you know as well as I do, in Minnesota, it's hard to find one without the frame issues in the rear. And so it's, I see them come up and for reasonable prices and things like that, but a lot of them need the frame repair done. And it's
I know all about that. I put a couple $3,000 I think into my frame.
Okay.
So on my Jeep, so now it's done. But
yeah,
I had that one as we're doing a lift kit. I'm like, there's a hole in the frame, is that important?
Yeah.
And we caught it early enough and got it taken care of. But I think that's anybody. So the floors are another thing too. I think I talked to a few other people recently, and for the floor, back to the bed a little bit, can you put a drain hole in there and just say, I'm going to stick a drain hole in there and spray the inside of that where the water gets in, but just have a drain hole, let the water run out?
You can see this side's actually pretty nice. And then I can explain the gas cap missing there. I actually went ahead and I got a few, it's kind of turned into a storage bin here in the garage, so excuse that, but I actually went with a fuel cell right here, kind of tucked in front of the wheel well, and because I was doing the whole boat tank in the back, and it just wasn't, the safest setup here. And so, as far as this area goes, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I thought about doing the Pour 15 on that, or getting it blasted yet again, but, this is kind of where I get hung up, because I don't have any bodywork experience or anything like that.
You need a big.
I can throw suspension on, and I can.
About this big, Kevin.
What's that?
You need a big sticker that says Gladiator or Jeep on there or something.
Yeah, something to hide it. Yep.
That's all you need. You know, a big sticker.
I got a grinder like anyone else, and I just went ahead and cut the cancer out, and I figured I'll get ahead of it that way. But I do know that you can get, you can get fiberglass fender flares here. They even sell some guys do kind of a pre-runner thing with these, and they sell fiberglass front clips for these trucks too, at a price. But I actually kind of have a pre-runner look going. I got a 3-inch lift up front now with these new springs. They're Deaver springs, made in the US, and I took it around the block. It's obviously it's not necessarily road legal yet, but it's kind of got a lean to it. You know, it sits higher in the front. So I guess my plan in the back to save a little money was just to do some blocks in the rear and kind of level it out. But
yeah, make sure
you got everything up to a, everything up to a 6-inch lift for these trucks, and it's just leaf springs all around. So it's pretty simple, and there's no track bars to deal with. There's no sway bar links. It's, you know, at best you got some drive shaft geometry issues. And that's actually the reason for me having to cut my Y pipe out is even with just a mild 3-inch lift up front, from 77 to 79, they routed the Y pipe right underneath the front drive shaft. So when it's fully flexed out, it rubs on that drive shaft. So I had to cut the Y pipe out before I even set the truck under its own weight after I put the springs on. And
yeah,
just another challenge, I guess.
Well, I think you're
but like it's worth it to get that little bit of extra lift, you know?
Yeah, that's just goes with the territory. As soon as you start screwing with one thing, you're going to be after this. You know, it's a domino effect when you start working on these rigs.
Right.
Especially if you got, if you want to do anything fun to it, like what you're doing, a little bit of lift here and there to get a little bigger on. And yeah, so I think you said the next thing is to figure out your exhaust a little bit, and then the floor pans, huh?
Yeah, floor pans are next. You know, it'll be nice having the full exhaust on there, because there was a period there where I had a pretty good manifold leak, and my girlfriend would be in the truck with me, and we'd be getting gassed out inside the cab. So it's glad that's fixed. We got the full exhaust going on there now, and then, yeah, I think a winter project here will be getting floor pans in, and then I'll worry about the work on the bed next year. And go what's from the there, end, I guess. So,
what's, and the
I
didn't, result, what's the end result you want for this truck, then? What are you looking for at the end of it all? Just a nice cruiser, or are you going to use it a lot for hunting, or what?
I mean, we do have a cabin up north and stuff, but I honestly, I'd probably go buy a ZJ or something for that. And like, I actually still have one of my old ZJs up there. And no, I think this will just be kind of a cruiser, going to work on Friday kind of thing, or a Sunday cruiser. Just it's at this point it's kind of turned into a somewhat of a frame off resto, and so I'd like to keep it nice, especially if I actually do a paint job on it. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. The original engine and the drivetrain, everything was good there. So I just figured I might as well run it out, get what I can out of it, and then I can always do an engine swap later. But I guess my main focus has just kind of been preservation. So like I said, I'm hoping the and which is partly kind of why I went to the kind of down south a little ways to get a nice clean Canada to get started with. And I mean, this truck's got solid rockers, cab corners, things like that, that you don't always find. And I just figured floor pans aren't that big of a deal. And other than that, you know, yeah, the main focus has been restoration. And, you know, it's I'm lucky that I can even get parts like this right here, the shock mount. Mine was all rotted out on the, you know, originally here. And I did a new shackles, new bushings. So yeah, thanks to a few suppliers that kind of fab these parts, I'm able to kind of make it like new again. So,
well, the funny thing is, no matter what condition it's in, it's going to turn heads, because Jeep guys know what it is.
Yep.
They're going to stick around and take a look at it. And so you
got it's all about both ends. I mean, the front end is very unique looking, especially with this grill. You don't really know what's coming down the road unless you do know the trucks, like you were saying. And then to me, it's like the tailgates of everything, you know. You got the stamped Jeep lettering on the tailgate. Yeah, that's kind of what I like about it, I guess. And it's just fun to drive. I mean, it's a big V8, it's a 3-speed, it's pretty simple, but it's loud and it's fun. And I actually went ahead and I can speak to these new KM3 BF Goodrich.
Yeah, I saw you had the big meats on.
Yeah, so these are 33 by 12.5s, and I got 15 by 10 American Racing wheels on there. And so just did my research on what offset I need, and no rubbing actually without a lift even. So even at stock height, you can run 33 by 12.5s as long as you got the right offset. And I try and stay away from spacers, so I found some real deep dish wheels here, and it pushes them out far enough to where I need them. And yeah, kind of gives it a nice, you know, a nice look. I'll try and get a front shot here.
That looks good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess, you know, right now I'm just kind of piecing the front clip back together, and, you know, as you know, in a couple months here, we'll have snow on the ground. So it's just kind of it's a race to get everything done before winter and put a few miles on it before I put it away for the winter. And, yeah, I guess then we'll just hit it again next year.
Well, it looks great right now. And what I will say, though, too, is when you get it all done, we'll you know, send me some pictures, keep me updated.
I'll yeah.
Just see what the progress looks like. It looks like you got, you know, maybe you're a third to almost halfway done doing what you need to be doing.
Yeah.
But you got your list going, and that's what's fun about these vehicles, when you can piece them together, especially the older ones. They're a little easier to work with, I think, than a lot of the newer ones.
Oh yeah, I mean, just look at this engine bay. It's, you know, plenty of room, and really under the hood here, you know, I kept it pretty basic. I just I did your typical chrome valve covers. Like I said, I got new manifolds on there, plugs, wires, kind of just a basic tune-up, and you know. Fires right up every time. I don't know. No complaints. It's a cool truck to just drive around town, drive to work.
Oh, that's awesome.
So,
well,
it's even got an intact headliner. So,
yeah, those are, you know, any vehicle this age, they might fall down or rot out. You know, if they're cardboard, you know, they can rot out pretty easily if they get wet.
Right.
So, yeah, and,
kind of hard to see here. It's actually tucked behind these door panels, but I got an extra dash, and then I got a sliding rear window behind these door panels here. And
nice.
So that was all kind of a big haul in Kansas. I bought the truck, and then 2 hours north in Kansas, we stopped at another guy's place, and I got the dash. And I knew that sliding rear window was like a piece of gold too, so I picked that up all I could. And, you know, someday I might swap it into my truck. Just afraid of breaking the glass, you know. I don't want to wreck one window to potentially get another one in and then end up with no window in the back. So
yeah, that's the danger.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, it's been great to watch, you know, see the truck and where it's at. I put you in the same category as like a couple other guys I had on with the CJ guy, and I had another guy who had a really early CJ with a Corvette motor in it.
Okay.
And I put that, you know, you can take a look at that on my YouTube channel too. The CJ7, you can take a look at that one. I have that on my YouTube.
But okay. I'll
put this on there too, so people can kind of see what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But this is great. I can't wait to see the finished product. And I'll share this.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the pictures on my Facebook page so people can see kind of where it's at right now. And I think it's great. So, but
yeah.
It's real funny is it's, you're another Jeeper. You just have a little different vein compared to most people who are into the wagons, the Jeep wagon, which is the Wranglers and the CJs and stuff.
Right.
Then, I know Jeff hates it. My buddy Jeff, who sponsors, hates it when he calls the Jeep Wrangler the wagon. He hates it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the Jeep. Yeah, that's the Jeep. Everything else is kind of an offshoot of it. But then the trucks, you know, so I wanted to kind of, still looking for somebody who wants to talk about their new Gladiator, but those people don't know how to use a podcast. Or they're too shy. One of the two.
Yeah, one of them.
Yeah, but it seems like you have the passion for the J Series, which is great. and can't wait to see this thing completed. So thanks for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, that's one of the best parts about owning the truck is just being able to talk about it. And, you know, they are so rare. It's pretty cool driving around town and, you know, I'll be honest, getting the looks on it and everything like that.
Yeah, you don't really need to you don't need to twist too many people's arms to talk about their Jeep, no matter what it is.
No, I mean, the tailgate behind me here, it's a dead giveaway that it's a Jeep. And then, you know, you start to realize it's, oh, they actually made a pickup. And, oh, wait, it's not a Comanche. It's a J10. And, you know, if I had the fenders on, you'd actually see the badge right here. I got a J10 badge. And so, yeah, it's unique.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Kevin, for being on. And sure. We'll be in touch soon then, okay?
Yeah, I'll keep you posted. Thank you.
Hey, gang, thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Go online and check them out.